FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today's October 23rd, 2017. Not much left of this year, that's for sure. But we're starting out the week right with Andrew Hoffman. Andy, good morning.
Good morning. I'm just looking at Zero Hedge before, just to see if something's happening. In my new world, in cryptocurrency, which is 90%, I'd say 99% of what I do, Zero Hedge doesn't even matter. I look at these articles and I'm going, who cares about all this stuff? But then I see that even they, you know, I've always criticized them for their terrible, terrible reporting on gold and gold manipulation. But then when I see Bitcoin tumbles after Saudi prince calls crypto Enron in the making, Saudi prince is what they want you to think that people are listening to. It is so ridiculous, the propaganda that goes out there in a sector where Wall Street has missed the first $160 billion of market cap and better get on soon so they get the next $160
billion. Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess the Saudi princes can move the markets, right?
Yes. He says, I don't even know which prince this is, and I put quotes around prince. You know, prince is like in fairy tales, not in real life. He says, this is Enron in the making. And I love when people say stuff like that, when they say terms like Ponzi scheme and pyramid scheme. I think the average person doesn't even know what a Ponzi scheme is. They just like to say it because it's like, oh, that's a fraud. It's a Ponzi scheme. No, a Ponzi scheme means an organization where people are being suckered in to put money in. Bitcoin is 100% decentralized. There is no organization at all. There's no CEO. There's no executives. There's no stock options. There is nothing. All you do is you buy it or you sell it based on your discussion. There's no marketing group, nothing. That's why it's so funny. They say this is Enron in the making. No, Saudi Arabia is Enron in the making because they base their, social budget on like $150 oil, and they got to figure out ways to get suckers to give them money to pay for the lifestyle of their people when oil is $50.
Not of their people, but of the ruling elite. All of those members of the royal family, they have more members of the royal family than a small city. And they all are takers. They just want to keep getting more and more and more. And eventually it's got to come to an end.
Yeah. And I mean, in Saudi Arabia, of course, it's the majority of the people don't even believe in like the religious sect of the government. They certainly don't believe in their political leanings toward like the United States. So it really is in some ways a Ponzi scheme because, I mean, you got to figure out who's going to give you money to keep this game going. And but I don't want to talk about Saudi Arabia. I just think it's so comical that they would think that Bitcoin would, and Bitcoin doesn't care about anything. You think it cares about what a Saudi prince says?
Hardly. So what's going on? We broke 6,000 on Bitcoin. And is it going to infinity here, Andy?
Well, now we're in the 5,700s. There's a lot going on this week. There's going to be a major hard fork tomorrow, a friendly hard fork, in which people will simply get what we call crypto dividends. Right now, the crypto dividend is trading at about, in the futures markets, like, 0.07 or 0.08 per Bitcoin, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a more contentious fork about a month from now, which I don't worry about, but it certainly will get a lot more publicity. And, you know, will it go to infinity? I've written, and again, at CryptoColdCentral.com, I've been in business 6 weeks now. I've written like 350 posts. So if you want to learn about cryptocurrency, you will learn it quickly. I talk about everything, and you really should just take the free 7-day trial and just read about these things. But I did write an article that said Bitcoin has the only chance, the only asset that has a chance of getting to, say, $1 million per coin without hyperinflation. I mean, if gold ever did that, there's only one way that would occur. It could occur. It would certainly be a worst case scenario if the actual dollar hyperinflated, meaning that everything hyperinflated first and no changes were made in the world. Because I think what will happen is if you have enough inflation, the world will just you run into cryptocurrencies. But I do think that Bitcoin could get to $1 million per coin, because I think cryptocurrency is changing the world. I think it's the aside from the internet itself, which it's based on, it's the greatest technology that's ever come, certainly to the monetary sphere, and certainly the most impactful of our lifetimes. So it'll have a lot of ups and downs. But right now, this year was the year that we really fought through a lot of the efforts to stop it between these contentious hard forks and the governments, the Chinese banning Bitcoin trading, which I assure you they'll turn around and unban at some point. It's just not working. Jamie Dimon, can you imagine if Jamie Dimon came out and said gold was a scam? It would never come back because it's so helplessly manipulated. And frankly, people are becoming less interested in it than they used to be. But he calls Bitcoin a scam at $4,000. And a few weeks later, it's $6,000.
Yeah. How quickly, you know, like you say, I don't even think it's dog years. I think it's starting to move in mosquito years here, Andy.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I call it double dog years. But yeah, mosquito years would be like quadruple dog years or something.
Yeah. I mean, I think a mosquito lives for 12 hours.
Is that right?
Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm not a, what do you call one of those bug guys, an entomologist? Hardly. But, you know, it's nuts. I mean, this thing moves faster than anything I have ever seen. Ever.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The stock market is a boring geriatric poker game compared to Bitcoin. All the financial markets compared to Bitcoin, it's like it's in a nursing home, the rest of the financial system, the pace that it moves at.
Oh, yeah. And yet its daily volatility is at an all-time low. You wouldn't think it, because it's constantly having, you know, today alone, we've had a $300 swing and we've had them all weekend. But the daily volatility is down to like 4%, which is the lowest it's ever been. You know, I mean, just 2 or 3 years ago, it was 6 or 8% per day movement. So, you know, as it gets larger and larger, it becomes, as I say, anti-volatile, because more people are in it, more people are using it, adopting it. So it becomes, you know, less and less volatile and more like mainstream. But it's funny, because when you talk about, I always say double dog years, I say it all the time. It's not just the price, you know, wildly moving around. It is how the environment changes. I mean, we're talking about just a month ago, the Chinese are banning it. It's the end of the world. Or Jamie Dimon says this, or just it was just the end of July when we were terrified of hard forks before the Bcash fork, like it was going to end the world. And look where we are now, at the point where we don't even care about the upcoming 2X fork, which is just a few weeks away. And when you look at the technology changes, I mean, no one thought SegWit would get in. And as recently as June, and then in July it activated in August, but it was locked in July. And I just think that next year is going to be so shocking as to how much advancement we see. I'm not even talking about the price. I'm talking about the advancement in technology. I think that the capital investment next year, again, forget Wall Street. Wall Street's going to be off the charts, because Wall Street is now going to be, now that it's a $100 billion market cap, they're going to be heavily lobbying to get ETFs put in place, and they will get them. But the technology investment we're going to see next year, now that SegWit is in, allowing for all these second layer technologies, is going to be like the dot-com boom of the late 90s. But it's going to be a lot more money than the dot-com boom of the 1990s. Partly because of inflation and partly just because of the complexity of the project. But it's really, really exciting. And double dog years won't even do justice to what I expect to come in the next few years.
Yeah. Well, hey, so far, so good. So far, so good. And anything you see that can get in the way of this, Andy?
No, I see a lot of things that will try to get in this way, and there's certainly a lot of hurdles it must cross. I just don't think there's anything that's going to stop it. I think it's already reached a critical mass. As we got through the Bcash hard fork, it was proven that even a malicious hard fork is not going to split the network. I mean, yeah, you can create a new coin, as we call it, an altcoin, but you're not going to break the network. You're not going to break its immutability. You're not going to break the proposition of 21 million Bitcoins. And once that's out of the way, and the SegWit is out of the way, allowing for all these second layer scaling. You know, I mean, what's going to stop it? People will try. You know, the Saudi prince will try, and Jamie Dimon, and the Chinese government, and eventually the U.S. government will get scared enough, and they'll do stuff. They'll close Coinbase. They'll create some capital controls or some kind of thing. But it's the same kind of thing like, I wrote that article, 5 years ago now called Priceless Precious Metals versus Worthless Dollars, where I basically say, look, the government doesn't do stuff like that unless it's already too late. I mean, the only way that they would, the U.S. government, the most powerful financial government in the world, with the world's reserve currency, would start attacking Bitcoin like the Chinese, would be if Bitcoin was so high and had so much interest and the dollar was dramatically losing its value at that point. Well, I mean, I'll take my contraband Bitcoin. But again, how do you contraband it? It's not owned by anyone. It's impossible. It's getting more anonymous each day. And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing that's going to be volatile and it's going to continue to face hurdles. But I think the hurdles are going to be increasingly less dangerous than the ones we've had to deal with in the past. And that's why the people who were in it early were rewarded, because there were some serious risks as early as this year. And the risks going forward, I think, are going to be a lot smaller than, you know, as far as the network itself, than they were in the past.
You think so? You think the risk is going to go down as the price goes up? I mean, usually isn't it the opposite, Andy?
I'm not talking about, there's a difference between the risk of the price going down. Obviously, the higher the price, the more it can go down. But I'm talking about the risk to the network. Because when I was when I was worried that, you know, when it was $1,000, I mean, I was terrified that some of these things would break it apart, some of these hard forks and the scaling debate, those kind of things. And therefore, it's more vulnerable to anything if the Chinese wanted to destroy it or something. But now I think we've passed the point where those things are really risks anymore. So while they're still there, they're present, they're a lot less. And it would be, I think, almost impossible to actually break the system at this point, even though, of course, the price can go down for a variety of reasons.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. The more valuable it gets, the less susceptible to sabotage or just utter destruction there is to it, because it takes on, you know, it gets critical mass. And that's really what it's about, is achieving critical mass. Once you've got that, then, like the saying goes, there's safety in numbers, right?
Yeah. And again, Wall Street has not participated at all. I mean, there's almost no way. I love when I saw this article and it was reiterated the other day. Bank of America did in September this survey. They surveyed all their, clients and said, what's the most crowded trade? And the number one was long Bitcoin. And I just had to laugh at that, because you can't buy Bitcoin if you're a Wall Street institution, if you wanted to. I mean, you are not allowed to. There's no way that they'd ever let you buy an unregulated, quote, security, let alone on these shady exchanges. Even the best exchanges are shady.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of hacks. I mean, Bitfinex was hacked last year. That's the biggest one. BTCE was one of the biggest ones. It was shut down for money laundering a few months ago. So, and then a bunch of them are in China and all kinds of crazy places. And of course, you know, what we say with Bitcoin is you hold your private keys, like you put it on a hardware wallet offline. There's no way a Wall Street institution like a hedge fund would be allowed to buy Bitcoin for clients and hold it on like a thumb drive in their wallet.
They can put all the thumb drives in the vault at JP Morgan Chase at One Chase Plaza downtown, right across the street from the Federal Reserve. Could you picture all those thumb drives stacked up in the vault, Andy?
Just like they have all their clients' gold or silver or whatever it is, that they'll never let them have it. So that stuff's not happening. That's why at $100 billion market cap, they're going to make sure these ETFs get done. And, you know, the big reason I think the ETF was not approved, it was back in, I think, July, was because you had these uncertainties about the network. It could have split. And I mean, if you own Bitcoin in an ETF and it's the network splits, how do you even deal with the ETF? But I think people are starting to realize that that's not going to happen. There's this one more contentious hard fork coming around November 19th called the SegWit 2X. Very malicious players, bad people. But, you know, obviously the network, the Bitcoin doesn't care. Look where its price is. And the futures market for that coin, which is heavily hyped by these people, is only about 15% of Bitcoin. So I think once we just get through that nasty little hard fork, and people realize, there's no more hard fork fears ever, then they'll get the ETFs approved. Then all of a sudden, you know, Wall Street is going to have a place where they are allowed to buy Bitcoin. And it's going to be incredible. There'll also be other ones, probably Ethereum and some other ones, but I don't really care about Ethereum, or for the most part, I mean, you know, the only one I even own at all, aside from Bitcoin, is Litecoin, which basically was forked off of Bitcoin. It's the same kind of thing, but almost all is Bitcoin. So it's, you know, I think you're going to see just, you know, if everyone, people's looking, go, oh my God, look what Bitcoin has done this year. It's nothing compared to what's going to happen next year. And I'm not even just talking about the price. I'm talking about it is sweeping the planet. You look at all these draconian things going on. I see in Germany today, they put out a new law that like mandates censoring of social websites. You see that in like Catalonia, where they try to secede and the government comes in and wants to kill them all. I mean, people are just fed up with what these central banks and governments are doing. And as you know, the price goes up and it gets more recognition, especially when Wall Street comes in and starts marketing it to get the price up so they can make money off it. You're going to see adoption increase dramatically. And with all this technology innovation that we're going to see at the same time, it's going to be 2018 is truly going to be a year to remember, in my view.
Yeah, well, hey, if it's anything like this year, forget about it, right? Just so many different things happening on so many different fronts. But perhaps the evolution of Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies, the real ones, are going to be the major achievement, accomplishment, or whatever you want to call it, for 2017 and 2018.
And on that topic, you said the real ones, and that's a good question. What are the real ones? Because for the most part, I don't think of, there are very few I even consider actual cryptocurrencies, because unless you're truly decentralized and one person is not an attack vector or can't make decisions for the group, it's not a cryptocurrency. It's just kind of a modern day tech stock and an even more risky one, because they're for the most part completely unregulated, traded on even, you know, more unregulated, dangerous exchanges, or in many cases they're traded over the counter. So yes, Bitcoin truly is a cryptocurrency because it has that factor. Litecoin has that as well. Very few others do. Ethereum certainly does not. Ripple certainly does not. Bitcoin Cash definitely does not, and neither does SegWit2x. These are all highly centralized operations, in many cases run by people who do not have your best interests, as opposed to Bitcoin, which is not run by anyone. It's the community's best interest that runs it.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, so Andy, just tell us again where we find your new site and connect with you.
Yeah, so excited. Well, first of all, I'll talk about my Twitter handle, because now I just hit 2,500 followers today after I've only had it for like 6 weeks. That's Andy_Hoffman_CG. And of course, CryptoGoldCentral.com. I mean, come on. There are now like 350 posts in 6 weeks. And these, when I say posts, I mean, I'm writing short, but really, really impactful articles talking about Bitcoin, precious metals, not precious metals. I just talk about gold, but I would say 90%+ of what I'm talking about is Bitcoin and or other cryptocurrency. And you can get a free 7-day trial, or you can subscribe for an entire year for just $225. It's a really good value. Just come over and try it. And you can always email me at ahoffman@cryptogoldcentral.com.
All right. Hey, and any questions, comments, etc., email us kl@carrylutz.com. And don't forget the Twitter feeds @CarrieLutz. Andy, we will talk to you again next week.
Looking forward to it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.